Amar Bar Pri Adama. Rav Nachman Amar Shakol Nia B'dvaro. So there's a machlokis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. What is the bracha? Of course, how we're going to analyze the Rishonim, we'll analyze what is the Nekudas HaMachlokis between them. You'll see, the way we'll read the Gemara right now is the style, the way I like to do it, is to read the Gemara, explain, maybe be medayik a little bit here and there, and then still one's not going to understand the Omek until one sees the nuances in the Rishonim, as opposed to speculating what are the different possibilities. It's kedai to read the Rishonim and then come up with something hardcore, as opposed to just speculating at, when you read the Gemara, of what purpose is that. Amar le Rav Rav Nachman. So Rav said to his chaver Rav Nachman, lo tifle galad de Rav Yehuda de Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, kaimikava say. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel paskin in what way? Damar Rav Yehuda and Shmuel, v'chein Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yochanan, shem and zayis, v'archan labar priyates. Alma afagav d'ishtani b'milsikai. Hachanami afagav d'ishtani b'milsikai. So how could you, Rav Nachman, say it's a shakon yevidvaro? Really, Rav Yehuda makes a lot of sense, because we see that when it comes to Shem and Zayis, the halacha is that it retains its bracha, even though there's a shinui. So too, over here, the kimcha d'chita is a shinui, so too as well, answers the Gemara Midam. Hasam lesle luyachrina, hacha isle luyachrina, bipas. Here, when it comes to the kemach, it's going to get better, because it's going to turn into bread. So obviously, one thing we need to be masbir is exactly how does this ilu yachrina work. When it comes to shemen, there's no ilu yachrina, so then in such a case, it retains its bracha. Here, since it has ilu yachrina, so then in such a case, the bracha is going to be different. Continues the Gemara. V'chi isla ilu yachrina lo mevarchin le'abar pri adama. Ela shahako. You're going to say so far, Rav Nachman goes so far as to say it gets a shahako. V'arim zera, v'arim rastar, v'arim shmuel. Ikra chaya, the kimcha de sa'ari. Ikra chaya is raw cabbage. Kimcha de sa'ari is a type of wheat barley. Mevarchin alayah shaklan near bedvaro. My love, the chiti bar pri adama. It's only a wheat barley that gets a shahakal. But wheat itself will get a bar pri adama. Lo, the chiti nami shaklan near bedvaro. Veshamin the chiti v'koshkein de sa'ari. Yashmin the chiti, avamina hanimili de chiti. Avol de sa'ari lo levarchala klav. I would have a hava mina that you don't make on barley, so then in such a case you don't even make bracha on it at all. Kamash malon, no. Rashi explains on our Gemara, Zok de Heilige Rashi, Kimcha dechiti, Oichel kemachitim kemoishihi. If he eats the kemach the way it is, Bori priadoma kishar koseis chitim. As if he's eating the chitim raw. Desanya lekamon vipirkin shemvarach bori priadoma. So Rashi explains out, just Pashup Shat, why would it be that you would get a Bar Pri Adama on Kimcha Dechiti? Because that's the same halach of someone who chews a wheat stalk. Someone who chews a wheat stalk gets a Bar Pri Adama. So that's why we would choose a Bar Pri Adama in that case. However, the Mando Amar Rav Nachman disagrees, and he holds the Ishtani, the Gora, and it goes down. Hol the Lo Ishtani Luluya Mal Yasa. It didn't go up like when it comes to other fruits, as we see by Shemin. So Rashi again emphasizes that the svara of Rav Yehuda is that's like koses chitin. Hachi isle luya achrina. However, over here, when it comes to the kimcha dechita, Rashi says it goes up. Hilkach yatsa miklal pri. It's no longer, it exits its status as a pri. In other words, it's no longer a pri adama. Uleklal derech achilaso lo ba. And it doesn't reach the madrega of derech achila. So notice Rashi is saying two things over here. To understand what the two things that Rashi are saying, I'd like to contrast the Rashi to different Rishonim. But notice, Rashi says, Isla luyachrina, it causes the kemach, the chita, to go out from its status of a pri, and it doesn't reach the state of derech achila. Aval hashemen, but shemen doesn't have ilu yachrina. Miyad ba b'shinuyav lechlal derech achila. So it immediately enters its derech to be eaten. V'ikar hapri, lakach netu, And the primary reason that this fruit was planted this way was for this purpose, and that is to be imbibed as shemen. Of course, we know from the previous sugya, al yidei anigram. Hilchach prihu, therefore it's still considered a pri, and then the bracha bar pri eitz is still appropriate. Okay. My lab medamer sir mechlad, the svir lebechiti bar pri adam dechashiv, that Rashi is muva me'ela. Tosvos, in a technical issue that becomes a big discussion, the Rishonim, that we're not going to discuss. If anybody could show me why it's important, halacha lemaisa, I'd be interested. There's a whole anaf here. As I've told you, we're not learning all ketz and mevarchim. There's a whole separate branch in the sugya that we're not going to discuss. Exactly what is the metzius of kimcha dechiti? I'm just going to take Tosis's angle over here, as opposed to this machlokas Rishonim. It's summarized well. By the way, Rav Hirschler summarizes in his footnotes to Ritva. The Ritva has a slightly different shita, but we're not. I just like to analyze Tosis in terms of Mineu Bey of the Gemara. Says Tosis, Nira, Delo Mairi Bikim Chamamish. We're not talking about real ground flour. Dim Kain, Lo Shaycha Bey Bracha Debar Pri Adama. It's Poshut, says Tosis, that we're talking about Mamish Kemach, so then in such a case, then the Bracha is not Bar Pri Adama. Ela mairi bikimcha shekarin ishtak flatir, o bekemach sheosim mishibola shul shemiyavshim bitano. If we're talking, let's start backwards and tell us the second reason first. If we're talking about a parched wheat that was heated in a tanur, so then it would be relatively shayich to say that in such a case it gets a bari pri adama. Or if we're talking about a kemach that they call ishklaitir. Again, the Metzius doesn't interest me right now. A different type of kemach that I guess it's normal for people to eat. So then in such a case, Tosa says, then it would be shayich to say that gets a bar pri adama. But otherwise, Rav Yehudin would never have said that the bracha is a bar pri adama. Now, at first glance, when reading the Tosas, one could clearly argue that what Tosas is saying is the following. And this would get back to what the Yesod of the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda is. That Tosas is saying the following. Shibola shual, that's miyabesh betanur, you have parched wheat that's been already processed in the tanur, so then in such a case you have something that was edible, and then people grind it up, and it still gets that bracha. Mashal lema adavar doma, you have many types of fruits that are ground up, and people still associate it with the fruit, like ground walnuts. So then the walnuts were processed, and then it's ground up, so then it's edible. What's the machlokis between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda? Could very well be that the machlokis between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda is whether it loses its identity because it no longer is a fruit. People could easily confuse ground walnuts with something that's at all. Flour. It doesn't resemble a fruit at all. And therefore, it could be that, according to Tosos, the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, we'll call this possibility number one. In the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda is, and this possibility is going to be very important, what happens if something loses its tsuras ha-pri? Does it get a bracha of the pri itself or not? So a chita gets the bracha bar pri adama. It's still edible when it's ground down, like the case of the Shibola Shul Shem Yavshin B'tanur. Does that get its bracha or no? Since it no longer has the Tzura of Chita, it loses its identity of Bar Pri Adama. This could be, in the world of theory, the machlokis between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, according to Tosos. That would be possibility. So we're saying two things here, Rabosai. Number one is that this could be Pshat and Tosos, and this could come back and help us understanding what's the nekudas hamachlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. That's hence what I introduced before. The Stam philosophize what's the machlokas Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda before seeing the Rishonim is just philosophy. But if we start from the Rishonim, okay, this is a legitimate possibility in the Tosos itself. However, I saw that this is what I thought, this is what Rav Eli Rothstein thought, and this is what Rav Soloveitchik thought when he started saying shir on this Tosos. However, Rav Soloveitchik rejected it for with a svara, and I saw one the pashtus should reject it from the Tosfos HaRash. One takes a look in the Tosfos HaRash. Tosfos HaRash adds three words, and it seems clear that this was not the kavana of Tosfos. Could be what we said might be pshat in the machlokas, but it's not the kavana of Tosfos. If you look in the Tosfos HaRash, he adds a couple of words. He says that the reason why it can't be talking about kemach, pure kemach, as opposed to parched wheat, he says, aval kemach lo misachil klav. Kemach, he says, is not eaten. It's not the derech for people to eat. Aval kemach lo misachil. Mitachil. He doesn't say kemach is not a pri. He talks about whether people eat kemach. So according to Tosfos HaRash, the pshat in Tosfos is very straightforward. Dahainu. It's not normal for people to eat kemach. If it's not normal for people to eat kemach, so then in such a case, one for sure would not give it a bari pri adama. Now, the question becomes, then why would it get a bracha at all? Okay, that's a fair question. Because Tosfos just said, din kein lo shaykh be bracha de bari pri adama. But it's not normal for people to eat a chita, at least a wheat, in such a manner. It is normal for people to eat ground walnuts. That's normal for people to do. But for people to eat kimcha dechita, that's something that's not going to be normal. So what does it sound like, at least according to the Tosfos HaRash? It sounds like over here, the machlokis is the following. Machlokis revolves around what happens if you change a fruit in a manner in which it no longer becomes the ideal derech for the fruit to be eaten. Or it's not even normal for the fruit. It's edible, for sure it's edible, but it's not the way people normally eat the chita. Either people chew chita, or they make it into bread. So then, in such a case, then, on the one hand it's edible, on the other hand, it's gone down on a certain level. So for that, we have a machlokis. So Rev Nachman claims, in such a case, it already gets a sha'akov. Rev Yehuda says that if we're talking about something that is still normal for people to eat, so on some level, so that like the case of parched wheat, so then in such a case the bracha is going to get a bar pri adam. And Rav Nachman says no. If there's going to be a shinui liluya, Rav Nachman says, so then it's going to retain its shahakal. Now let's put that back into the Gemara. Let's see how this machlokis, if you're magdir this machlokis of derech, if it's, in other words, if you have kemach, then it's not the derech at all. Then even the mandamer who says bar pri adama will be modeh, then in such a case it's not going to get a bar pri adama. However, what happens if you have something that it's not entirely its derech to be eaten? So here we have the machlokis, the hainu. Let's read it back into the Gemara. V'chein ha-Rav Yitzchak amar Rav Yochanan, shemen's. The Gemara brings a riot from Shem and Zayas. Alma, avogav dishtani b'milsekoi. Hachinami avogav dishtani b'milsekoi. Wait a second. We see that when there is a shinui, so then in such a case, it still gets its bracha. The hainu that will be a raya to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, who says that you get a bar pri adama. So the Gemara answers, no, mi dami. Hasam lesle iluyachrina. Hacha isle iluyachrina bepas. In other words, since it's no longer the ideal derech in the way to eat this kimcha dechita, even the shibala shul that's edible, and that some people do it, since it's no longer the ideal, and you're changing it, so then once the derech, it's not the ideal derech, so then it loses its bracha, then it's going to go down. In contrast to Zayas, so there is no iluy achrina. Then the Zayas, this becomes part of the derech. So this would be the pshat Aliba de Tosfos. Number one, how Tosfos, the Tosfos HaRash rejects it. The Tosfos HaRash explains the rejection of Kemach. Dainu, Kemach is not the derech at all. Is mashma then, then what's the diun between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda? The diun becomes a diun, what happens when it does go down a little bit from its derech? Then it's going to go up. So if you normally take it to chita, to kimcha de chita, so then in such a case, eventually it's going to go up. So this would be one hezber, as we're going to see, there will be Rishon that will say this black and white, but Pashas, that's what Tosfos is saying. Now, Soloveitchik said, you can't learn the Tosfos the other way, the first way we had said. So let's just summarize. Possibility number one was that the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Nachman and Yehuda is what happens if you knock out the Tzuras HaPri. Clearly over here you've knocked out the Tzuras HaPri. That everybody agrees. Chita is in a certain state. Now you've turned it into Kemach. So one way of understanding Machlokes from Nachman of Yehuda is, possibility one is, that once you lock out the Tzuras HaPri, does it still attain the Bracha? Rav Yehuda says, yes. Rav Nachman says, you knocked it out, it loses its Bracha. The second possibility, which is the way we're learning according to Tosis right now, is no, that's not the Machlokes. Why not? We'll explain in a second. According to Tosis HaRosh, it's not Mukhruch in Tosis' words anymore. Then what is the Machlokes? The Machlokes then is, what happens if you take something that its derech is not to be eaten in such a matter? It's edible, according to Tosis Shibola Shul is edible. Maybe some will say Kimcha Dechita is also edible, but it's no longer the derech. So then we have a Machlokes. When it comes to Shita Rav Yehuda says, as long as it's edible, it's going to get a Bar Priya Dama. However, the Shita of Nachman is, no, if it's not the Iluya, if it's going to have an Iluya, so then that defines the Derech HaAchila. If it defines the Derech HaAchila, so then in such a case, the bracha over here, by the Kimcha Dechita, has to be a Shahako. So this is Luchura, good pshat, what emerges, according to Tosos, in the Machlokes between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Tosos is saying, Kimcha Dechita, so there's no derech whatsoever, for people don't eat it at all. But what happens if you have a minimal derech? Clearly, even Shibola Shul, ultimately people turn it into something else. They don't leave it in its granular state. So there we're going to have a machlokas. But of course, Tzura Sapri, if you have something that loses its Tzura Sapri, then it'll still get the bracha. It'll still retain the Bara Pri Adama. But over here, it's worse. Because over here, it's going to reach Iluya Achrina. Once it's going to reach an Iluya Achrina, so then in such a case, its bracha, by definition, goes down. In other words, it exited the Bara Pri Adama. The derech of Achita is to chew it as well. But over here, since once it enters the state of a flower, so then it's going to have Iluya Achrina, so then the derech affects it to the point of Shehakel. And review this says, no, since it's edible, then the derech is not going to affect the halacha. Now, another reason why Rav Soloveitchik said that it's not a machlokis over here about Tzuras HaPri is because there seems to be a Beferish Gemara that's against it, which I don't know if we're going to be able to be miyashiv. There is a Gemara later on that we're going to have on Daf Lamed Ches about Shlokos. The Gemara discusses what happens if you have cooked vegetables. So the halacha is that mei shlokos are like shlokos themselves. That what happens if you cook vegetables in water. So the halacha is actually that if you have vegetable soup and you remove all the vegetables and it's been cooked entirely, infused entirely with the vegetables, halacha is that it gets a Bara Pri Adama. So it seems to be quite clear that you don't need a Tzuras HaPri to get a Bara Pri Adama. So once we see that when it comes to Mei Shlokos, that the halacha is that it gets a Bara Pri Adama, that seems to show us that the whole notion that we've been discussing about Tzuras HaPri is wrong. All right, we're going to get into trouble later on, because we're going to see that there are some who prefer to learn this way. And all right, stay tuned. In 2 weeks from now, we're going to have to be miyashiv. But right now, there are l'chura, it's a strong raya, meishlapas. So Soloveitchik said, even though I read the Tosis that way originally like this, that you could say it's dependent on Tzuras HaPri, he thinks the whole Mahalach is wrong. That Tzuras, to say that you need a Tzuras HaPri, that you need its physical stature to attain a Bara Pri Adama, if the water that was soaked with the Shlokos, that it assumes the identity, in such a case it gets a Bara Pri Adama. So certainly if it's ground down, that should not be a reason not to give a Bara Pri Adama. Hence, this cannot be the Pshat and the Machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. So we have two reasons to turn the Tosos at first glance on its head and to say that the Machlokes is not Tzuras HaPri, but rather it's a question of Derech Achila. Yes, Yoshua.
But the second pshat in Tosfos of what the machloket is starts running into the problem that the Rif had, because the Rif said that he goes like Rav Nachman because It's not derech achilah.
Okay, we're going to get to that. Be'ezer Hashem, we're going to get to that shortly. Okay, let's take a look. Let's take a look and see that at first glance, what we born out, what we're going to do is we're going to go all the way around. We're starting with Tosas, then we'll go to the Rif. A lot of what we're going to say is going to touch on the Rush as well, and then eventually come back to Shitas Rashi, because Rashi we haven't really ripped apart what Rashi is saying. But let's get a little bit of the colors of the rainbow, and then maybe we could come back to Shitas Rashi. Let's take a look at the Rif. Rabbeinu Yonah's objections to the Rif, and then see what the Pshat is according to what you have to say according to Rabbeinu Yonah in the Rif, and then come back with. Says the Rif, Kimcha Dechiti, Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Priyadam, Rav Nachman Amar Shakel, Umistabra. So here the Rif says something, as you know, that's quite controversial. Umistabra Kir Rav Nachman, Delo Regili Inchil Esfuya Kimcha, Lahachin Pasik Revusa, Vechen Kimcha Desari Nami Shakel, etc., etc. So the Rif, Rabosai, says that we paskin like Rav Nachman, that the Bracha is Shakel. And he says, because to lo regili inshi l'sfuye kimcha, it's not normal for people to imbibe kemach. So first of all, the Netziv, in his Pirush on the Gemara, we're going to see that he will heavily influence the way we look at the sugya. The Netziv learned up this Rif in the following way, that the Rif, it's kemat meduyak at first glance, that the Rif learns that the svara of Rav Nachman is about derech. And ultimately, he claims, the Rif is paskening, that derech is critical. So since it's not the derech for a person to imbibe kemach, the Rif paskens that the bracha is going to be shehakol. However, if one takes a look at Rabbeinu Yonah does not like, the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yonah, quote from Rabbeinu Yonah himself, that Rabbeinu Yonah did not like the whole approach of the Rif and the Sugya. So first of all, the Rif paskins like Rav Nachman, and he also gives us the Svara of Derech. In other words, it sounds very much that he learned, at least Bedas Rav Nachman, that the reason why the Bracha is, it's a Shehakol, because it's not. It's the derech. Now there is another way. You don't have to read the Rif this way. The Netziv read the Rif this way. The Netziv read the Rif as saying the following: that Rav Nachman holds that the bracha is going to be shakel because it's not. It's not the derech. So we're going to go right now in the Netziv's way of reading it. Ezra has his hand up. Maybe you could say that the Rif had learned the chlokas differently, but then he's paskins for Rav Nachman for a totally different reason of lo regili. You could read it that way. The Netziv does not understand it. And Siv understands that the Rif learns that since it's not the derech, so then in such a case it's not going to get a bracha of Borei Pri Adama, but rather it's going to get a shahakal. And the Rif is just saying, and that's the way we see Bizman Hazeh. Okay. Rav Nachman Omer Shahakal, Kim Dishtani Ishtani. Vikosa Rif Vagoinim. The halacha ki Rav Nachman. Vitaima didhu, Mishum Dilo Regini Inshilisfuya Kimcha. Veins in Nir the Maria Rap. Now, it's very, very interesting in terms of Derech Halimut, this Rabbeinu Yonah. This Rabbeinu Yonah is very interesting in terms of Avrami. You have to take this back to Rabbi Berg. He's going to have a little bit of a hard time with this Rabbeinu Yonah. The Talmidim of Parnas are going to have to, this is a Rabbeinu Yonah that you have to contend. You know what I'm referring to? All right, we'll see in a moment. Anybody know what I'm referring to when I say that Derech Halimut-wise? Forget about Rav Parnas is there, Shlita is there, Halim for a second. Anybody know what was striking about what happened to this Rabbeinu Yonah? Did anything happen that was striking in how he developed the Psak Yameh?
Just answering.
Okay, good. Yes, Yaakov?
Where is Rebbe said?
Where is Rebbe said? Good. But he also, at the end of the day, Rabbeinu Yonah says, a Svara here, a Svara there. I'm not so impressed. The Gemara introduces a Svara. All right, even the Gemara's Svara is unimpressive to Rabbeinu Yonah. We were always raised that the Svara is the ultimate machriya. Rabbeinu Yonah in the sugya doesn't see, as we're going to see in a moment. Let's go. Veins in near the Moriah, Rab Neshigmar near Beferish, Daloch Rav Yehuda. He says that it doesn't sound like that the halacha is like Rav Nachman. Rather, the Gemara seems to say the halacha is Rav Yehuda. Why? Damrin and Hasam, Amale Rav le Rav Nachman, lo tifli galeh de Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Rav Yochanan kai kavasei. The Gemara has a hava mina. That's the way I read the Gemara. Hava mina that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda. Why? The sviralu, the shem and zayis of Archon and Bar Priya eats. The afal gav de ishtani, lo nishtani birchaso. Hachanami, afal gav de ishtani, lo nishtani birchaso. Umevarchon al bar priya dama. Vikima du Rava duhu basra, savor k'Rav Yehuda. Rava was the one who challenged Rav Nachman and said, we should pass him like Rav Yehuda. Hilchas akavasei. The halach is like him. Why? Because he brought a raya that even though you do a shinui on Zayus, it still gets a bar priya. So too, if you do a full shinui on the chita, it still gets a bar priya dama. Even though Rav Nachman had a beautiful svara, since he didn't reject him, this is the line that I'm referring to. Mikayach Mishnah, v'lei mikayach Brisa, ele mikayach svara. Notice, Rabbi Yonah doesn't say the svara is bad. He says, but stam a svara. You don't have a Mishnah. You don't have a Brisa. So at the end of the day, the rule is you follow the Basra. So it's a fight between Rava's Svara and Rav Nachman's Svara. And you don't have a Mishnah and a Braisa. So at the end of the day, even if someone's got a compelling Svara, it's not going to be something that's going to take the cake. Rather, he says, at the end of the day, we have whom? We have the Raya of Rava. And he says, I'm not so impressed with the svara. It's a nice svara. Iluya Achmina, the truth is, it's a very fascinating svara. And it could be, again, I argue that according to Rabbeinu Yonah, the svara is going to be compelling svara. But at the end of the day, svara in, svara her, everybody could say svaras. So at the end of the day, it doesn't stand. Va'od, and another reason. Now, I've said enough about that. Let's continue on over here. I want to understand together. Va'od, derav Nachman gufei lo amar shahakol mitam she'ein derech b'nei adam l'achlo v'im kidivreim she'poskin l'tukula mizeh atam hayelo l'rav Nachman lomar mi dami hasam hu derech l'achol shemen al nigron kidichsiv l'il avol kimcha ein derech b'nei adam l'achlo v'kivan sh'rav Nachman atzma lo amar mizeh atam. Rabosai, what is Rabbeinu Yonah's second objection to the Pesach of the Rif? The Rif says, I'll tell you why I'm paskening like the Manda Omar who says that's a Shahakal, Rav Nachman, because it's what? It's not the Derech. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you're off. That was a really off note. You're really, really off note. You've missed the entire Gemara. What's Rabbeinu Yonah's objection? Just to make sure the pshat is clear. Before we get to alumnus, the pshat has to be entirely clear. Yes, Yoshua, go ahead.
That if Rav's Svara versus Rav Nachman's Svara, since Rav was said it last, then he wins out.
His first argument. The second. I'm up to the second. Yes, Matt?
Rav Nachman himself didn't use the Svara.
Beautiful. So the Rabbeinu Yonah has a very, very strong time in the Mineu Bay. He says, Rav Nachman should have said back very partial. He should have said that Shemen Zayis is the Derech. Kimcha is not the Derech. The fact that he doesn't retort in the Mineu Bay of the Gemara, Rav Nachman doesn't come back to Rav Yehuda, is a simin that the Rif Svara is illegitimate. Because Rav Nachman himself could have simply said that it's not the Derech. This is Rabbeinu Yonah's taina back.
Okay.
It's a strong taina. So the Netziv defends the Rif. And the Netziv says, I'll tell you what the Rif will say back. The Rif would say the following. The Rif would say, no. That's what the Gemara is saying. When the Gemara speaks about Iluya versus Eino Iluya, that's what the Gemara is saying. When it comes to Shemen Zayis, it's the Derech to drink it because it has an Iluya. However, when it comes to Chita, since it has an, again, Shemin Zayis does not have an Iluya. It's that way. So if it's that way, so then in such a case, that's the Derech. When it comes to Chita, there it does not have an Iluya. And since the Chita, since, again, the Chita does have an Iluya. And since the Chita has an Iluya, it's not the Derech for the individual to eat it in such a manner. In other words, the Rif will say back, says the Netziv, that this Gufa is the Svara that Rav Nachman is coming back with. So the Rif might, the Rabbeinu Yonah might be right to say that you paskin like a Svara, maybe yes, maybe no. But at the end of the day, the Rif understands that that Gufa is the Pshat of Rav Nachman. Now Ezra's point is still well taken. I'm not tzarich iyun on the Netziv. My first problem with the Netziv's argument is that at the end of the day, it doesn't sound like from the Rif that he's learning that that's the Pshat in Rav Nachman. Doesn't sound like that. Just, in other words, it sounds like he's using it as a svar for Psak, but not in Rav Nachman. The Netziv doesn't understand it that way. The Netziv understands that what the Rif is suggesting is that this is the Pshat in Rav Nachman's Shita, when Rav Nachman comes back and he says that Shemen doesn't have an Iluya, Chita does have an Iluya, what we're saying is that since Shemen doesn't have an Iluya, that's the Derech. In contrast to Chita, it does have an Iluya, so then that is not the Derech. That's the Netziv's understanding in the Shita of the Rif. You could be Mefakbeik, again, just to show you what Ezra and I are bothered by, when he says, Umistabra kirav Nachman de lo regili inchle svuye kimcha. He's saying, Umistabra kirav Nachman. He's saying, I'm introducing a svara to paskin like Rav Nachman. But not necessarily to say that this is Rav Nachman's svara. But the Netziv learns that in order to be miyashiv the Rif, what you should do is introduce exactly this svara. It could very well be Vamevin Yavin, the fact that Rabbeinu Yonah challenges the Rif with this idea is a riot to the Netziv's approach. In other words, the Rabbeinu Yonah's kasha is assuming that the Rif had understood that this is part of Rav Nachman in the Gemara itself, Vamevin Yavin. Yes, Ezra.
Two things. First of all, that what the Netziv said is saying seems to be exactly what Rabbeinu Yonah says. He says, Asher, this is the answer for the Rif. Rabbeinu Yonah, right after he asks the question, he says that it could be that
Nachon. You could say that that's what the Rabbeinu Yonah's kavan is. Correct? Correct.
The problem with that whole thing,
yeah,
it seems like that can't be that's what the Rif is saying. Because if so, it seems like the fact that people don't eat like that is not derech hachilah, so that's more of just like the sima, not really the siba.
Okay, you're saying, now what you're saying is just other words for the argument that we had said before, I think. In other words, it's just the umistabra. It's how you read, ultimately, it's how you read that word, umistabra. I think that's okay. Now, let's go on, Be'ezer Hashem, to see Rashi. Ezra's pointing out, well, it could very well be that that's the shot in the Hemshech of Rabbeinu Yonah. Could be. I need to look back and think again, but at first glance, it seems to be that way. Tough. Now, let's now see what the Shita Be'ezer Hashem of Rashi is. In other words, according to the Netziv's understanding of the Rif, the machlokis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman is this Nekuda of Derech, and then that is exactly what we had seen within Shitas Tosis. Let's take a look at Rashi. How did Rashi learn the Shita, ultimately the Shita of Rav Nachman that we paskin like. So let's read Rashi very carefully. Now with the perspective that we have in terms of Tosis's Havana and the Rif's Havana, let's take a look at Shita's Rashi. Hacha Isla Ilu Yachrina, says Rashi, Hilkach Yotza Michlal Pri, V'lechlal Derech Achilaso Lo Bo. So Rabbi Isai, what do you think Rashi is saying? Now I said that there are two things that are going on in Rashi. Now with this in mind, now that we frame things according to Tosas and according to the Rif, and we gave two possibilities of how to read the Gemara, one we at first glance totally rejected, so then what's this Nakuda over here? How's Rashi learning? Hilchach Yotza Michlal Pri? What's Rashi saying? What exactly is behind the Shita of Rav Nachman, who says, Islay Lu Yachrina. Yes, Simcha, what do you want to say?
There could be two ways of having a definition of pre. Could be Tzuras of pre or Derech Achila of pre.
And what's Rashi saying?
That Rav Nachman says that they came to the feet, he doesn't have a Tzura, and it's not Derech Achila.
That you need both. You have both criteria.
No, you need one, but it doesn't have either.
Doesn't have either.
Right, Shemin has, it's an ended Tzura, but it still has Derech Achila.
Okay. So, I read Rashi originally like the way the Netziv understands Rashi, differently than you did. And Rashi reads like this, according to the Netziv. Hache Isla Ilu Yachrina, Hilkach Yatza Michlal Pli, Ulechlal Derech Achila Solo Ba. Rashi is saying like this. Once it's ground down, so then there are two things, two negatives over here. Number one, it's not a pre. And number two, it's still not going to get any other bracha that it's ultimately going to get, because derech achilas lo ba. In other words, Rashi, in the first part, is explaining why it loses its borei pri adama. And then Rashi explains, ulechlal derech achilas lo ba. Rashi is being descriptive. It's neither here nor there. It's neither at the state of the pri, a borei pri adama, and nor it's not lechlal derech achilas. Now notice, achita is not the ultimate. How many wheat stalks are chewed on, and how many of them are turned into bread? Many, many more are turned into bread than are chewed on. So Rashi's saying it's neither here nor there. It's a food item, not like the way Tosas had argued. It's a food item, but it's not a pri, and it's not derech achilasa. So therefore, the bracha is going to be a bracha of shahakal. Hence, learns the Netziv that what's going on over here is the following. Rashi is of the opinion that when it loses its tzuras apri, the Netziv claims, so by definition, it no longer gets a borei pri adama. And there's a fundamental machlokus here between the Rif and Rashi. The Rif is of the opinion that what defines the machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda is derech. To oversimplify, is derech. The Rav Nachman is saying that if it's no longer the ideal derech, then it loses its bracha. Even if it's a food item, even if it's edible. But it's not the derech, then by definition, it doesn't get a bracha. You have to say this, because then if it wasn't a food item at all, so in such a case, it wouldn't get bracha altogether. Chewing sawdust doesn't get a bracha. So it's a food item, but it's a food item that only gets a shakal. It's not the I, and that's the Iluya, and that's the answer to Rabbeinu Yonah's objection to the Rif. And I have to look back, I'm still not convinced either way, whether Ezra's right that Kufu at Rabbeinu Yonah said Bidas HaRif. Could be. And that's the answer to the Rabbeinu Yonah's objection. When the Gemara says Iluya, it means not the Derech. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, Yotza Michlal Pri. Ulechlal derech achila soy loy ba, and it doesn't reach the derech achila. Rav Soloveitchik was medame this, said that this could very well be shot in the shakla v'tari of the Gemara if you read Rashi this way. Ultimately, we're going to see that the Rav did not read Rashi this way, but if you read Rashi this way, He said there could be a fascinating hesber in the Shach V'Tari the Gemara. And he introduced us, this is the Gassar of Yosher Ber, that number one, he would do it in the Minei Ubei in the Gemara, and then what I sometimes say in the old city, microscope and telescope. Right now we're microscoping a Rashi, trying to understand what the Minei Ubei, but always you have to have the koach of a telescope, be able to take a step back and see other models and call out Tarakula where you have this idea. So he shtel tzus to a machlokis that I was unaware of, and that's in the Ramban al HaTorah. Ramban al HaTorah has a fundamental machlokis with the Rambam. I didn't get to this when we learned Zeruim in Rav Rosenzweig's call. We didn't do Trumas and Maisras. So I was unaware, so I want to share this with you, that there's a very fundamental machlokis of how to look at a Zayas. And that's going to be relevant in terms of the Shach V'Tari of the Gemara based on the way we just read Rashi. I'll show you how it comes together. The Torah says that there's a chiyuv to be mafresh truma on tirosh v'yitzar. So the Ramban in Perek Yudalit, Pasuk Chav Gimel, writes the following. He writes, when the Torah says that the chiyuv is on tirosh v'yitzar, what's that going to do to the shemen, to the anovim and the zeisim themselves? Aval adavar mizbar, says Ramban on the Torah, b'gemara min ha-talmud bavi yushalmi, yupshuto shel mikra, shafilu zeisim v'anovim, maiser shalem enim min ha-Torah, ad shiyasu tirosh v'yitzar. Says the Ramban, that when the Torah speaks about, this is the extension of what the Ramban said, this is how Rav Soloveitchik understood it, that when the Torah speaks about anovim and zeisim, the Torah refers sometimes to it as tirosh v'yitzar. Why? Because the ideal expression of the fruit of the grape and the olive is as oil or as wine. In other words, it still has the identity of a fruit, claims the Ramban, it still has the identity of a fruit when it's turned into tirosh v'yitzar. Why? Because that is the ultimate expression of the zeisim and anavim. Says Ramban, therefore, the chiyuv of hafrasha on trumas and maisras min haTorah, everybody points out that the Torah, the ray comes out from Mishnayos, that the Torah says that the chiyuv of hafrasha is on tirosh v'yitzar, that's because the ultimate expression of the zeis and anavim is as tirosh v'yitzar. L'may nafkamina, Ramban claims, therefore, grapes and olives are only midrabbana. Okay? That's yediyah number one. The Ramban disagrees. He says, shekvarto bo migdole hamechavrim. The Gdole HaMechavrim made a mistake about this. So I wouldn't have known, but the Masad Rav Kook edition of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah says that's a Rambam. He's referring to a Rambam. That the Rambam in Hilchos Trumas, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, seems to say that the Hafrash of Anovim and Zeisim is also Min HaTorah. Okay. In Kenyan Advarim, the Rav wanted to taina that possibility number two of the way we had read the Gemara, which we were reading right now in Rashi, about that the Diyun over here between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda is whether it loses its shame pre or not, one could learn that into the Shach V'Tari of the Gemara. In other words, what I'm saying is that now we're going to flesh out the Netziv's Pshat in Rashi in the Minei Ubei in the Gemara. Okay? We're going to use the Shitas HaRamban al HaTorah to see how the Netziv's Pshat in Rashi, which might very well be Emes Lamito in Rashi, how he read the Hemshech HaGemara. The Gemara goes like this. Rava comes back and he asks Rav Nachman and he says, what? When it comes to Shem and Zayis, there's a Shinui and yet it still gets a bracha. So what's his response? What's Rava saying to Rav Nachman? He's saying that when it loses its Suras HaPri, it still retains the bracha. Answers Rav Nachman back, and according to most poskim, unlike Rabbeinu Yonah, this response, this svara, is a good svara, and it becomes halacha lemaisa. He responds back like this: Midami hasam lesli iluyachrina hacha isla iluyachrina bepas. What's the vart of Isla Iluya Achrina? I'll tell you what it means. Isla and Lesla. When it comes to Shemen's Lesla Iluya Achrina, this is the ultimate expression of Shemen. The Rav Soloveitchik felt compelled to say that is the eitz. That's the Priya eitz itself. The Priya eitz of the Zayis is the Tirosh V'Yitzar. That becomes its identity as a Pri. So, beautiful. The Mechayiv of Bracha is the Pri. However, the Teira is Mechadesh with the Tirosh V'Yitzar, that the Hagdara of Pri, when it comes to Anavim and Zaysim, is the Shemen and the Yayin. That is what's Magdir, the Bracha itself. So it's true. Suras HaPri ultimately is the Ma'akid. But when the Gemara is answering it, the Gemara is saying like what the Ramban al HaTorah had said. And that is that the Mechayiv of Pri, yes, we know that there are times that we refer to Trumas and Maestros on Peros, but the Peros of Zayis is the Shemen. It's not a full Pri. Actually, paradoxically, the fruit of the Zayis is not the Zayis itself, but the Torah is being the Chadish Utirosh V'Yitzah. The Rambam holds that both are Chayiv min HaTorah, but in the Ramban you see that it goes so far. So this would be, this is what Rav Soloveitchik said, if you read that the Shiloh of the Gemara was Suras HaPri, then this would be the Hemshech of the Shakla L'Tariyah. Now, the Rav then goes on and says it's all wrong. He throws it all out the window, not because the Ramban is wrong, not because this possible way of reading the Gemara is wrong, but he gets stuck by Shlokos. He says that by Shlokos you see that you don't follow Tzuras HaPri. Okay, maybe we'll come back to defend it. But actually, the Netziv learns that this is how Rashi learned the Gemara, in the sense that he learns that Rashi reads that the Hagdara is the Tzuras HaPri. And when it loses its Tzuras HaPri, so then in such a case, the Bracha is what? The Bracha, by definition, is going to be a Shehakol. The Netziv then does a very, very smooth move. And he says, this is Rashi's Shita throughout Ketzer Mefarchim. He says, this is an important, important Shita, and we're going to see Rabosai, it finds its way into Shulchan Aruch. This way that Rashi read the Gemara is going to be Rashi L'Shita, so the Netziv claims, and it's going to find its way, Halacha L'Maisa, as well. Which Rashi? Rashi on Daf Lamid Chesamid Aleph, the Sugya of Trima. In the sugya of Trima, Trima is crushed fruits. So Rashi learns differently than almost all of the Rishonim. Rashi has a radical, radical shita. And Rashi learns that when the Gemara says Trima Mahu, if you have a mashed fruit, what's the halacha? So says Rashi like this. Ma mevarchin alav. The shame Trima, what is the shame Trima, this expression of Trima? Kol dover hakotush ktsas. Anything that's been pounded a little, but it's not entirely mashed. So we saw in Halacha Shir that this is the position, according to many, of the Ramah, which we don't paskin like Halacha, even for Ashkenazim. We'll get to why in a second. And that is that if you have something, a fruit, that's been entirely mashed, even though it's clearly recognizable it's a fruit, it's applesauce, not matz applesauce that Ezra argued, said to me that some say that you get a shackle, which was a little bit of a chiddush to me. But what happens if you have fruit that's clear that it's applesauce? It's clear that there are pieces over there inside, but it's been entirely mashed. So then in such a case, then Rashi holds the bracha is going to be a shackle. Why? Because it doesn't have tzuras hapri. If it doesn't have Tzuras HaPri, Rashi Shita is that's a shackle. Zok the Netziv, it's Rashi L'Shitasa. Rashi holds by us, as well as on La Mechesa Min Aleph, Rashi holds, what's the Hagdara? It fits in pretty well in Rashi. Hilkoch Yotze Mechlal Pri, and we pass the Hagram Nachman. So the moment it loses its identity as a Pri, so then in such a case, the Bracha is going to be a Shehakel. So what is the need to be a Pri? It needs to be Tzuras HaPri. Rov Rishonim disagree. Ruba the Ruba the Rishonim, the Rambam Udi, Me'an, the Mechaber, and Rov Rishonim say not that way. They say no. Who says Tzuras HaPri is a Mechayev of Bracha? We're going to have to come back to this. Who says Tzuras HaPri is a Mechayev of Bracha? They say as long as the mamosh of the pri is kayam. So just because it doesn't look like an apple, entirely it's recognizable that it comes from an apple. It smells like an apple. It tastes like an apple. V'chule, v'chule. So then in such a case, of course it gets a bar priya eitz. But Rashi holds not that way. Rashi's mechadish that if it doesn't have a tzuras ha-pri, the Netziv learns that this is Rashi, that this is Rashi l'shitasa. Now, again, we have to come back to Shlokos. Shlokos is a very, very big problem. But this is the Netziv's mahalach in learning up to Rashi. Hence, the Netziv learns to crunch it. The Netziv learns as a fundamental machlokes between the Rif and the Rashi of how to read our sugi. Of course, the Rambam then, Shulchan Aruch, says that as long as there's mamashos of the pri that's kayim, that it gets a bar priya eitz, the Rambam is following according to the Netziv's mahalach, the derech of the Rif. However, the Ramah, he says that the halacha is, according to many achronim, the Mishnah Berurah we spoke out, the Mishnah Berurah says there's some who claim that the Ramah himself is not going with Shitas Rashi, but the Pashtus is that the Ramah is actually going with Shitas Rashi, that says that the moment that it loses its Surah Sapri, then it's going to get what? It's going to get a Shahako. La Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah says, since there was some discussion whether the Ramah was going as far as Rashi or not, so then the Mishnah Berurah says, we don't pass in this way, even for Ashkenazim. Even for Ashkenazim, as long as the mamash is kayam, even if it doesn't have tzuras ha-pri, then it's going to get the bracha bori priyats. However, it does seem to be that this sheet of Rashi, as in it was Masbird, finds its way into the Ramah. It's just the even Ashkenazim don't follow it because some were mefak beg. It could be that the Ramah wasn't coming from that and the Ramah really wasn't disagreeing very much with the Mechaber. At the end of the day, the Mishnah Berurah sort of glosses over the machlokas. He makes it much less a machlokas between the Ramah and the Mechaber than at first glance. But clearly, according to Rashi, you would not, at least the way, by Trima, it's clear. The Netziv claims Lishitas without Rashi. Rashi, it's clear, would not make a Bar Priya Eitz on applesauce. Rashi would not make a Bar Priya Eitz on applesauce. And the Netziv is claiming that's the same Shita of Rashi over here. Tzarechiyun Gadol, well, how will Rashi learn Shlakos? That's a Tzarechiyun Gadol on Rashi. And the hemsh, the pshat in the Gemara is gishmak, according to Netziv. That's really gishmak. That whether it has identity of pri, even when it reaches the state of tirosh v'yitzar. And that's what the Ramban al Torah says. That anovim and zeisim are not the real pri. The real pri is the shemen and the yayin. That's the pri. That's the real pri. Aye, that doesn't have tzuras ha-pri. The answer is that's gzeres ha-kosev. The gzeres ha-kosev is that yayin and anovim. The yayin vis-a-vis anovim, the real pri is the yayin. Because that's the ultimate iluya. That's the teres iluya. That's the teres iluya of tirosh v'yitza. Yes, Eli.
Maybe they said the Gemara Lamechaz is only going according to Ramban.
Good, fair point. Objection number one. Now we're going to deconstruct Bezer Hashem. Fair point. One question. That one could ask on the Netziv is that the Lechura, the Gemara, should be told it on the Machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. The Gemara seemed over there, let's just take a look at that Gemara quickly. Amar lo yehu merabanan l'rava, trima mahu. Lo have adaiti d'rava, mai karmela. Yasser ravina, kamei d'rava, etc., etc., etc. And then the Gemara comes up with the maskana. All right, and you know what? Since the Gemara gets into quite a minei bay over there, well, let's leave it when we do the sugya. Interestingly, Eli, there you got Rava. That's very interesting also. We have Rava there. So we have our work cut out for us, Bezer Hashem, on Daflam Nechess. That's a fair question. L'chura, we don't see anybody putting the two together. That's one question. That's it. Rabosa, can anybody attack the Netziv in the minei bay and Rashi? I think the way the Netziv read Rashi, read Rashi is definitely a legitimate way of reading the Rashi at first glance, but the more and more one looks at it, I'm not convinced that even that the Netziv is right, that this is how Rashi learned the Machlokis between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Yeah, Itan, you had your hand up.
Yeah, actually,
go ahead.
The Netziv is trying to say that the Ramban's idea of the
that was what Rav Soloveitchik said when he was giving the quote unquote Netziv's Hesber. Ultimately, he argues on his Zayda, though. Because, by the way, you know how he's right. Now is already story time. Rav Chaim did something that was. We spoke about Rav Chaim's godless B'Torah's Hesber. There's something else that I find my background Rav Chaim did. One of the most tragic machlokis, which was a machlokis l'shem shemayim in the history of Klal Yisrael, was the machlokis in Volozhin. And there was a case in which there was a machlokis l'shem shemayim in Derech HaLimud between the Beis Halevi and the Netziv. The Netziv was a gadol b'Torah as a plugger. The Netziv was a tremendous, tremendous masmid in his youth. And the Netziv, maybe one could go so far as to say even the Netziv wasn't even a big harif. But the Netziv learned and he chazered and he remembered everything that he learned. They say the story, the famous story, that the Netziv, when he was younger, was wasting his time, and he went to sleep at night and he heard his mother crying to his father that she doesn't know what's going to be with him, that they had dreamed that he was going to become a Talmid Chacham and he was wasting his time. And the Netziv heard that, and that heard his parents speaking at night when they thought he was sleeping, and that changed his life. And but he didn't have the natural brilliance of some of the Talmidim, and that was the Netziv. The Beis Halevi was Gaon Atzum, and the Beis Halevi's style was, he was a tremendous mechadish. He was a Mayanim Misgaber. No question that Reb Chaim didn't quote unquote revolutionize learning on his own. It really came from his father's charitas. That was really Reb Chaim. As a kid, by the way, Reb Chaim from the Netziv, it sounds like, was a little bit quiet, didn't do so much. Reb Chaim as a kid was very, very different. First of all, he was growing up in rabbinic aristocracy. So Reb Chaim was exposed, and this is also why Reb Chaim wasn't so enamored by great Rosh Yeshivas. He grew up as a kid, they were all in his house. And Reb Chaim used to even, they say as a kid, he was a little bit wild, and he used to even drive them a little crazy. What do they say? Reb Chaim, this is the first trace of Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud, is Reb Chaim used to go over to these great Rabbanim when they come to his father's house. Or every once in a while, in the Beis Halevi, took Reb Chaim with him to rabbinic conventions. So Reb Chaim used to go over to them, and he would say, I have a teretz, ask me a kasha. As a little kid, he used to say, I have a teretz, ask me a kasha. Tell me after shir why that's the precursor to Reb Chaim's Derech HaLimud. But that's as a little kid, he used to say that. In one of the new books, they say that my son loves this one. He got a real kick out of it. When I told him that Reb Chaim told the Beis Halevi, "Daddy, teach me Hilchas Erevin." So the Beis Halevi sat down with him and did a few sugyas in Erevin. And the next day, and probably told him that we don't carry in any Erevs. And then the next Shabbos, he saw that across the alleyway there was an Erev. So Reb Chaim as a kid built an Erev. And came lunchtime, this is what they say, came lunchtime, so the other rabbinic family that used to live across the courtyard was sitting down for lunch, and Reb Chaim went to the window and he tossed the ball right into the chalent of the people that lived next to us. They say that Reb Chaim as a kid was a real chevrema as a child, which goes to show you that kids will be kids, and eventually they could grow into great gedolei Torah. But this machlokis really ripped Volozhin apart, because the Talmidim had really each, because they were such great Gaonim and Tzaddikim and so on, the Talmidim began to align themselves and they went too far. They divided themselves into two different camps, and there were differences because of their difference in personality between the Netziv and the Beis Halevi. Eventually it became a full-fledged machlokis. It's clear that the machlokis was not about, like some machlokis in today in yeshivas, which is a machlokis of kavod and ego and so on, which is very, very understandable. There is a machlokis today in one of the most world-famous yeshivas, and everything is at stake. If this Rosh Yeshiva wins, so then the other Rosh Yeshiva is out. And he has the potential to be Rosh Yeshiva in the most chashuva yeshivas, and if he's out, he's just another person on the street. So it's understandable how chas v'chalila people could fall down into machlokas and shalot even l'shem shemayim. But this machlokas was also, between them, was clearly machlokas l'shem shemayim. It was the heart of Volozhin that was at stake. Eventually, they went to the gedolei hador. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan Spector sat on the bezdin with other gedolei Torah. And eventually they decided that they're going to split everything down the middle. That all the roles in the yeshiva would be divided between the Beis Halevi and the Netziv, except the one thing. They split everything down the middle, except one thing. Anybody know what the one thing they didn't split down the middle? This is the reality in yeshivas. except the Nitziv was going to be in charge of the money. Everything down the middle, all the responsibilities, the boys, everything, the Nitziv would be in charge of the money. And the Beis Halevi said, that's not called splitting it down the middle. You basically, you took, if he's going to, anyhow. So eventually, the Beis Halevi, this is almost, I'm not saying Rabbi Yosef Chedushin, this has all been recorded. I think Kulei Alma Mod, it could be in the yeshivas, they don't say everything out explicitly, but that's what happened. And eventually, the Beis Halevi became the Rav in Slutz. But what happened? The Nitziv took back the Beis Halevi's son to be one of the Magidei Shurim, took Reb Chaim to be back one of the Magidei Shurim in Volozhin. And then Reb Chaim married the Nitziv's granddaughter. That's mind-boggling. Here was a machlokes that had ripped apart the Olam HaYeshivas, and Reb Chaim Begadluso recognized that this was a machlokes L'Shem Shemayim, and he entirely repaired the rupture between the two mishpachos by marrying the Nitziv. And nowadays, there's absolutely no shemets of that machlokes that exists. There are other machlokes in that were L'Shem Shemayim and Klal Yisrael that the Talmidim took Shalol L'Shem Shemayim that still exists today. Here, because of Reb Chaim's godless, he could have married lots and lots of girls, he married the Nitziv's granddaughter. I'm not saying you should choose your wife based on that. It's a different generation. But Reb Chaim married the Nitziv's granddaughter, and hence there's absolutely no recognition of that machlokas today. That's my Bible. So the Rav disagrees. So everybody thinks about the Rav as being a grandson of Reb Chaim, but Reb Soloveitchik was also a grandson of the Nitziv because Reb Chaim married the Nitziv's granddaughter. So the Rav argued on his Zaydis chat. Can anybody tell me what's difficult over here from with this chat? Commercial's over. Infomercial is over. Let's look at the Rashi. Let's look at the Minei Ubein, the Rashi. Yes, Josh, go ahead.
Rashi didn't focus on Derech Achila.
He focuses on Derech Achila?
I think the by Shemesh and the
Anfalish. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, Josh. Be Masbir more. I want you to read the Rashi well and be Masbir. I'm not going to let you get away with superficiality. I want you to say good. You're saying well. I want you to say even better. Go ahead.
The shemen, it's immediately it comes to involve in derech chilasim, and the ikar of the pri is because it's planted for that. It's planted because it's derech chilasim. That's us, period.
Okay, good. You are masbir Rashi well.
So it's only a pri because of derech chilasim.
Very good. And now spell out, but according to the Nitziv's Mahalath, now just finish off. Dunk it, yeah.
The whole Indian is the shame pri because it's suicide pri. Here it's focusing on derech, the shame pri because of derech chilasim. Focus is really Derech Achila, not the Shem Pri.
And where do you see that? In which part?
The Shemen part.
Yeah, and where in the Shemen part in Rashi?
That the Klal Derech Achila, some Iker Pri, the Klal Shem Pri, all the Hilgot period.
Very good. Okay. Josh is saying very well. This was, I think, Reb Soloveitchik did not learn Rashi this way. He had to have a Mina to read Rashi this way, and then he didn't. I don't know if he could very well be that the Rav didn't even see the Nitziv. The Rav didn't look a lot in Achronim, even though he did look a lot in his family's Svarim, but it could be that he didn't even look at the Nesiv. He says like this, Aval HaShemen Miyad Ba, let's read Rashi, Mitchil Vatsof, Hacha Yisrael Yachrina, Hilka Yotza Milichlal Pri, it goes out from its status of Pri, Ulichlal Derech Achilas Aloba. So we read that according to Nesiv, you could read Rashi like this, that it, once it goes out of Michal Pri, and yet it doesn't reach its Iluya, so then it gets stuck with a Shahakal. But then, how do you read the Hemshech HaRashi? Aval HaShemen Miyad Ba B'Shinuyav L'Chal Derech Achlasov. So Rashi contrasts that to Shemen. Rashi says, but when it comes to the Shemen, it reaches its Shinuyah right away of Derech Achlasov. V'Ikar HaPri L'Kach Netuhu. And the Ikar HaPri was planted for this. Hilkach Prihu. And therefore, it's considered a Pri. So Rashi in the Hemshech says that what defines it as a pri, not the tzuras ha-pri, but rather is whether it's the derech achiloso, it's the derech to eat it. So then, if that's so, If that's what Rashi's emphasizing in Shem, then let's go back to the Reisha of Rashi. It could very well be that the way the Netziv read the Rashi was wrong. That to read Rashi, the way to read Rashi is appropriately is the following. Hilkoch yotza michlal pri, if there's iluya achrina, it goes out of the status of pri, ulichlal derech achilas aloba. The ulichlal is being masbir more why it's yotza michlal pri, because it's not reached the derech achila. But ultimately, the hagdara, even according to Rashi, is the derech achila. In other words, derech achila becomes a critical part of the status of pri, as Rashi seems to say when it comes to shemen. Aval shemen miyad b'shinuya of the shinui reaches lechlal derech achira. So the ikara pri lakach nituhu. The ikara pri was planted for this goal, for this derech hilkoch prihu. That's what defines it as a pri. So you could have something that loses the tsuras apri, that if it was lakach nitu, it's still considered a pri. And the other way around, you could have something that loses the tsuras apri, but it still is the derech for it, so it's considered a pri. If you read Rashi this way, then the whole mahalach of the Netziv falls away. And then even though we had nice pshat in Mineu Be'ev Gemara, you could have read the Gemara this way, but Rashi is not saying that. And the derech achilaso of Rashi in the Reisha is being magdir yatza mechlal pri. Hilchach yatza mechlal pri is just describing, just in every word should be meduyik in Rashi. Hilchach yatza mechlal pri, it no longer gets the bore pri ha'adama. Ulechlal derech achilaso blo. You see, the only thing is, what's the ulechlal? What's the ulechlal derech achilaso blo? I don't know. I don't think in the notes they recorded how. See, this is. This is the Chaval al Da'avdin. We, you know, when you're stuck with the notes, then you don't get, especially Rav Moshe Nechemia is writing from five different notebooks, v'chulei, Chaval al Da'avdin. It's not, and I, by the way, I didn't find a good sefer that really, really goes through Mineu Bei and Rashi, in case of Avarchim. Rav Eric showed me a couple of svarim, they're nice yeshivish svarim. But I haven't found someone, I haven't found someone that really, really goes through the Mineu Bei and Rashi, most of the Rashis, to really explain what every Rashi is saying. That's hard. But Lechura, the safe, what Josh is bringing out, what we do have, is the safe is not mashma like the Netziv. That's the bottom line. So the Netziv might read nicely in the Reisha, but doesn't read nice in the Seifa. So hence to say, the whole Shtickel Torah. So then maybe Trima is a different Vart. I don't know why Rashi says he says Trima. But this is the Netziv, and this is the difficulty, and that's why Rabbi Yashaber did not learn like his grandfather, even though he started out, the first way he started out learning this way, but in the end, and he gave us a beautiful lumdus with this Ramban, but in the end he doesn't learn this way. So Rabbi, let's just summarize, and then I'll take the Oris in the Kavanas Rashi. Let's just again pull back, and just look at the Sugya from afar. We had a Tosos is Shita in the Machlokas from Nachman or Yehuda, where Tosos clearly, once you see the Tosos HaRosh, is learning that the Shiloh over here is what, whether something is not entirely derech, does that change the bracha? That's Mefurish in the Rif, and the Rabbeinu Yonah has a taina that that's not the Pashtus of Gemara, but if you reread Rabbeinu Yonah, have to look back, Ezra claims that's how Rabbeinu Yonah himself is Miyashev, then it could be that that's the Rabbeinu, the Pshat then in the Gemara is exactly at the Rif had said, that if there is no Iluya, then it is the derech. If there is an Iluya, so then there is no derech. Tosis made his ha'ara that therefore changed the pshat of the Gemara. Rashi, it could be, you might want to say it's Lushita, so Rashi doesn't say that we're not talking about regular kemach. So it could be that Rashi is learning that even by all kemach, whether it's a derech or not, what we're focusing on, as long as it's edible, whether it has the tzuras ha'pri. And then the pshat in the Gemara would be, and this is how the Netziv learns, then the pshat in the Gemara would be a razzle-dazzle shakalataria, could be, and that is that the Gemara is being mechadesh, that's still a pri, when it had, even though it undergoes a change in the tzuras ha-pri. Why? Because that's the special tzuras ha-kos of tirosh v'yitzar, as the Ramban al Torah says. And that would be Rashi l'shitasul, the Netziv points out in the sugya of Trima, which is a machlokis mechaber rama, and mepashtus, the rama is going with shitas Rashi. Then we saw, though, that the Seifa, Josh is right, the Seifa of the Rashi doesn't seem to be this way. Seifa of Rashi seems to say that when it comes to Shemen, the Iker is Derech Achilaso, And since the Iker Pri was not a lekach, whether it has Suras a Pri or not, then it gets the bracha. In contrast to the Chita wasn't planted for this, and it's Yatza Michlal Pri. I see the Talmud had a couple of aris in terms, I would guess, in terms of reading the Rashi. We'll go around. Yes, Simcha, go ahead.
Well, why can't you say that there's two ways to get a dam or a pri? It either has a tzura or a pri, or if it's derech achilus, it's the same thing. It's not the intra.
Oh, but the problem is then when shemen. What about shemen?
Oh, so shemen has derech achilus.
Oh, two possible ways.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I thought you said you need two criteria.
No, two possible.
That was what you had said earlier, right?
Yeah.
Let's think. Hilchach Yatza Michlal Pri. And there... Whoa.
It's not
Derech Achila. Avol Shemem Miyad Bo B'Shinuyim L'Chlal Derech Achila. So, then what do you need? V'Ikar Pri L'Kach Netuhu. Hilchach Prihu. It's explained Derech Achila.
It's explaining why Shemem is Derech Achila. Derech Achila, so. This is the way it's supposed to be eaten.
No, so just stop right there in Rashi. Avo Hashem and Miyad Ba B'Shinui L'Klal Derech Achilasa.
Meaning, even though it doesn't have a tzura with the
shiur. V'ikar, and then why v'ikar the word ikar apri is so? It's just to bring out. In other words, ikar apri to me is so reminiscent of tzura sapri. But you're saying no. You're saying v'ikar apri l'kachnatu hilkach prihu.
Yeah. What about hilkach?
Okay. So Simcha wants. Yeah. And what's hilkach prihu? No. Therefore, it gets the bracha. Right. Hilkach prihu. The halachic says the bracha. So Simcha wants to read Rashi like this. Since Simcha wants to say that Rashi is saying Hilchot Yatza Michlal Pri, it goes out Michlal Pri. So there are two reasons he wants to say that you could get a Borer Pri Eitz. Number one is you have a Tzuras HaPri. Number two is it could be Derech Achilasa. When it comes to Kimcha, so then it's not a Pri and it's not Derech Achilasa. And the Hemshech of Rashi reads like this. Avol Shemen has Derech Achila. Avol Shemen Miyad Ba B'Shinui L'Klal Derech Achila. So, V'Ikar Apri. I don't like the words V'Ikar Apri. I don't like V'Ikar Apri.
What does Ikar Apri have to mean
Tzuras
Apri?
Ikar Apri just means... No. But even if it doesn't mean Tzuras Apri. Why Ikar? V'Hapri Shelakach Natu Apri.
Derech Achila is related
the whole point of it.
The essence of the Pri.
The reason why you have an olive is to have the oil. So therefore it's considered Derech Achila.
The Ikar Apri Lakachnatu, and the primary reason of growing the fruit is for this purpose, Hilkach Priyu, and therefore it's considered Pri vis a vis the Bracha Bore Pri Ha'eitz. Comes out that according to Simcha, the way Simcha is reading the Rashi, then what happens if you have something that has Tzuras Apri and it's not the Derech Achila? So he's saying you would still get a Bore Pri Eitz. Okay, Rabosai, we have possibility number three. Not the way Josh had read it. But possibility number three is to say that Rashi is saying that there are two criteria for Bar creates. One is that it needs to be that you could have either that's a pre or it's a derech achila. Shemen doesn't have the status of a pre, but it's not derech achila. So according to this way, there'll be a nafkamina between Rashi and the Rif. That according to Rif, it's always derech. But here you have both.
That could be why Rashi's saying
Then it could tapavi, then Rashi's Lushita. Maybe that's all what the Netziv meant. Maybe that was what the Netziv meant. No. Netziv does not say that. You're reading differently than the Netziv. Right, and here I'll show you. It's not what the Netziv says. It's fine. It's beautiful. Yeah, Ellie, that was what you were going to say something along those lines?
I was going to say, according to what we were explaining before.
Yes.
I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes out that even though it's not Derech Achilasa.
Is it Netziv's Mahalach?
No, according to what Josh did before.
Yeah, okay.
Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's not Derech Achilasa, so you still make a Bore Pri Adam.
We had said that Shemen is different because Shemen is Derech Achilasa. So. No, the other way.
I'm sorry,
I didn't follow. Yeah. Correct.
That's insane. That's what others are trying to ask. Rashi understands the case of.
That could very well be. Yeah. In other words, we have to emphasize that when we say it's not Derech Achilasa, Derech Achilasa means the the general way of eating it. Not that it's should. In other words, it doesn't. Shelo kederech achilaso is not eating chaylev chay. It's not eating chaylev chay. It means that in general, it's not the general way of using it.
I think Rashi's arguing that definition of tosos, because Rashi said the case of just kemachitim, meaning it's not there.
Nachon.
I'm saying, according to Rashi, it's not there. Tosos of chalal and review that it's still in the value of bracha v'adam.
No. So exactly how what I was not masbir that we could do during seder. I was not masbir what exactly is Rashi's response to tosos. And that's what I told you was the naf that I'm not touching on at all. And that's that requires yeser iun with the ritva, v'chule. I would imagine if we would do those and the rush gets involved, if we would do that well, we would have an answer to your question. It could be that would impact our way of reading Rashi. I'm choshish that it's not. That we'd be able to come up with an answer in a different direction. Yeah. Eitan?
Yes. Something only stems from the way we read the Shaflei Chai according to the Rav, that we're...
Every once in a while that happens. sometimes the godless sweeps me off of my feet. I will admit that I'm guilty of that sometimes. Go ahead.
That we had said that Rav Nachman's response to the Rav is that Shemin Zayas maintains the Tzura based on Tzura Shiyitzer as opposed to Kemach it doesn't maintain. But it could be that Rashi just saying that Zayis is kind of like the same thing as bread. It's blood, the cloud there at the lesser. That, yeah, when we talk about Kemah, we're talking in the realms of Tzuras HaPrit. But when we get to Shem Zayis, it's already out. We're not dealing with Tzuras HaPrit. And that's why you use the lesser. It's already on the same level.
I'm following your argument, and therefore, what do you want to change? What will change?
That's why Rashi, it's not Tzarki to say that. Oh, Rashi seems to be saying that.
You want to defend the Netziv's chat.
Yeah, that defend the Netziv.
Okay, so now read Rashi and be masbir well. Avol.
Avol Hashemen, Yad Bav V'Shinuyo L'Klal Derech Achilasim. And when we talk about Shemen, the Shinui of Shemen, don't equate it with the Shinui when it comes to Kemah, because the Shinui of Kemah, that still hasn't reached its Klal Achilasim. When it comes to Shemen, it's already reached its Klal Achilasim, so you don't have to worry about Tzuras HaPri or anything like that. V'Ikar HaPri L'Kach Natu. And that's the Ikar HaPri, the same way by Kemah. The reason you plant Kemach is to get to Lechem. So it's when it comes to Zaysim, when you plant it, you come to get Shem. Hilkach, therefore, it would get a Bori Pri Eitz and the higher level of Rafa.
How is what you just read differently than the way Josh read it?
With what Josh is saying, Josh is saying it as a Kasha, that, we're trying to say within the Nesiv that
right.
It's all about Tzuras HaPri, and Rashi needs to say that.
Derech Achilim. What's your answer?
When we come to Shemen, it's not in the same category as Kemah.
Oh, so you're using the other way around. You're using the Rav's Mahalach to be Miyashev, no? You're saying that if you learn up the Lamdus of Derech Achilah, so it's turning it into a pre-Mamish, that's what you want to say. Is that what you're saying, right?
Well, I would read in the Gemara that when Rav Nachman brings back up Shemen, that Shemen is the Iker level. No, Shemen's already there at Achilas, so we don't have to worry about that being Tzuras HaPri or anything like that.
Well, but at the end of the day, do you need Tzuras HaPri or not?
Yes, when it comes to Kemah, you need Tzuras HaPri. Therefore,
because it's not there at Achilas, so then you need.
Yeah,
so it's like Simcha.
Is that any different than Simcha saying?
Well, same saying.
Because I thought you just introduced for me a fourth way of reading Rashi.
Same thing that Derech Achilas is you can still. That's another way that you can still reach a bracha of
right.
Adam.
And you want to read.
You want to say, or Rebbe want to say, according to the Nesid, that no, he's targeting. It hasn't reached nor Bor Pri Adam, nor Hamotzei Lachmei Haaretz. So it has nothing to do with Bor Pri Adam. And Derech Achilas is totally something different.
Mm-hmm. I need to think a little more about what you're saying. You also opened up a fourth possibility way of reading it. Say the Ikar HaPri is referring, Derech HaChilas, the Ikar HaPri is saying the Tirosh V'Yitzar Bart. Now, answer for Josh. Tov, Mirtz Hashem, what we'll do is on Sunday we'll be malakhed everything that Talmidim say. Maybe Sunday we'll start off Bezer Hashem on this. Wait, Yoshua, you also had a question. Just two announcements, Rabbi Lassay. I'm sorry. Just let me take all the questions and then. Yeah, go ahead.
I had a question on the Rabbeinu Yonah.
Yeah.
Because he seemed to learn, first of all, that on Kemach Solet,
yeah.
Right, that you would make a Shehakol.
Right.
Which is completely not Derech Achila. Which is comparable to what's it called? Chelov Chai, right?
Right.
So he's saying, so first of all, I wanted to ask, why would you make any bracha on that?
So that's what we said, that maybe it could be according to that shita that it's just not the primary. Is that impossible to say in Rabbeinu Yonah? That's not the primary way of using it?
He even says Mithne Shemazik.
Oh.
It damages you while
you're
around.
Fair kasha. Alright, we have to get back to that. But that Mipnei Shemazik is the Hemshech HaGemar. That will be for Sunday, Bezer Hashem. And Mipnei Shemazik, that's the Hemshech HaGemar that we have to get back to. Okay, Rabosai, a couple of points. First of all, just Keseder Advarim. Oh, one more story. I'm sorry if lunch is late. I've been dying to tell you a story. Did I tell you the story with Rav Gorelick and the snowball fight? I don't know if I'd be more dying to do this sugya with you or to tell you the story of the snowball fight. So, story goes that.